At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at AbilityChiro.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You're listening to continuing coverage of the Abby Zwirner civil trial from the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Staff members to get an indication of how credible a threat is. Do you recall that testimony in your direct?
No, that's not what I said. I said context, not context clues.
Oh, okay.
Well, I'm just saying it's not the same thing.
Okay, so we'll talk about context. Mm-hmm. At this point in time, when Mr. Sims comes to Dr. Parker, there's still a possibility of a gun on campus, true?
The possibility, yes.
A 2-3 possibility.
Yes.
And Mr. Sims is now saying, have you searched the person, true?
To Dr. Parker?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And so at that point in time, when Mr. Sims is asking, did you search JT? How does that affect the foreseeability? I mean, it's a teacher saying, hey, we need to check the kid.
Well, I believe Mr. Sims was relating information. I think he was covering the office at the time. So I believe he was more of an intermediary than a person urgently raising a concern, but that may be up for interpretation. But he does, you're asking me, did he speak to Dr. Parker about that? Did he ask that? Or what? Maybe you can ask me again with that caveat.
Sure. When Mr. Sims goes to Dr. Parker and says, did you search the person in light of the fact that there is still a possibility of a gun on campus, what is the foreseeability at that point in time in your expert opinion? 2-3? More than 2-3? Less than 2-3?
Well, it's easy now to go, boy, we should, but in that context, with the fact it's a six-year-old, with the fact that Dr. Parker is not privy to all of the subtleties and the context that you alluded to, and given the fact that now we are looking for something, one student R, indicates bullets. And so we now haven't really elevated that a great deal.
So 2-3?
Yeah. I mean, if we wanted to do a parallel exercise where we were talking about a high school student or a middle school student, clearly we would be talking different things. But I'm answering your questions specifically for an elementary, kindergarten, six-year-old.
I know you're saying that, and that's this idea that a high school student may more intentionally fire a gun. Is that fair?
I'm saying a high school student most likely would have greater access to a gun, would have capabilities to use it, would have the capability or the forethought to bring it for threatening purposes, which might speak to your concern about safety. I mean, if we want to just go statistically, how many six-year-olds have you seen walking around with a gun versus how many 17-year-olds have you heard having a firearm?
If you want to talk statistically, we can talk about the CDC's investigation into accidental shootings in elementary school students in 2023. Did you review that finding of the CDC?
For this case? No.
Okay. You are aware, because you work with the Department of Homeland Security, that the CDC did perform an investigation into the prevalence of accidental shootings in minors, specifically children of the age of JT, correct? You're aware of that as an expert, aren't you?
Aware of that study, or aware of it in this context? I did not review it for this case, and this was not... You were asking me questions not about an accidental shooting. You were asking me about foreseeability.
Foreseeability of a threat on campus.
Yes.
If there is a gun, true?
Yes.
And whenever there's a gun, especially at an elementary school, an accidental shooting is a threat, true?
Yes.
And so, at the time that Mr. Sims goes and talks to Dr. Parker and is continuing to ask about a search of the person, it's still, in your view, it's a 2 to 3 foreseeability of a threat at that time.
For a six-year-old.
Just asking you about a gun on campus. 2 to 3, more, less.
Well, I think you're asking me to make a unilateral statement, and I'm trying to provide the context that you referred to. And the context being the foreseeability of a six-year-old having a firearm.
So it's okay to just disbelieve it because...
That's not what I said. You asked me about foreseeability. You didn't ask me about response. You didn't ask me about attitude. You asked me about foreseeability.
We'll get there.
So foreseeability of a six-year-old is in the low end of your scale.
Okay. So we're at a 2 to 3.
Yes.
After Mr. Sims leaves Dr. Parker's office, there is then another conversation with Mr. Rawls, correct?
Yes.
And this is the conversation, I think, that you... And Mr. Rawls, during that, requests to search, true?
Who are you referring that Mr. Rawls is talking to? You're done with Mr. Sims, right? You're talking with Dr. Parker, correct?
Correct.
I just want to be clear so I can answer it correctly.
So Mr. Rawls requests to Dr. Parker to search the student, true?
There is a discussion about searching.
Okay.
Yes.
And that's now the second discussion about searching the student. Mr. Sims, then Mr. Rawls. True.
The first one was a informational, has he been searched? This one was a discussion about searching.
And, okay. And so, at this point in time, foreseeability, 2 out of 3, more, less?
Well, I think you're equating the discussion of searching with somehow urgency or more likelihood. So I don't see that there is significantly higher likelihood. It is still quite implausible, even though we know it happened. It is still not a lot of specific information. It's still all the things that we talked about. We're still in the lower end. I think Dr. Parker and Mr. Rawls' discussion centered on the plausibility, but also on the caution through which an administrator should undertake a body search of a six-year-old. And so there wasn't a refusal to search. There was the decision that it needed to be done with parent, not necessarily permission, but parent involvement.
So 2 to 3, or is it more?
I don't think it goes up a lot more, no. And does, especially considering that Mr. Rawls has experience with troubled students.
Does it go up at all? Can I finish the question? Objection, Your Honor, he's cutting her off.
I mean, I just asked more than 2 to 3.
All right, so we can answer his question.
Is it more than 2 to 3? You said not much more. How much more?
3, there.
3, all right. We moved a little. And you're talking about this communication process with the assistant principal, Dr. Parker, and the staff members, correct?
Yes.
And in your book titled Keep Students Safe Every Day, that's the title, correct?
No, it's Keeping Students Safe Every Day.
Sorry, I missed the ing. You'd agree that a crisis event occurs in a school, there needs to be effective communication, correct?
That is correct.
And that the assistant principal is the leader in that regard, correct?
I don't say that in the book. The assistant principal is the leader in that regard? I don't remember writing that.
All right. Is the assistant principal a school leader to be clear, specific, and timely with communication?
An assistant principal is one of the school leaders. And in the crisis plan is one of 3 school leaders.
And in this context, at 1:40 in the afternoon, if you accept my representation, that's when this conversation occurred. It was a 3, that there is still a 3 likelihood that there is a gun on campus. True?
Based on what you have asked me to assign to it, yes.
Okay. All right. And when we say a 3 likelihood, and you talked earlier about, I think you said you'd have to assess whether to search the person, the boy, or not, given his age and other surrounding circumstances. Do you recall that?
I don't know that I said assess, but I might have.
So, I told you earlier the last thing we talked about was over, under. Do you recall that?
Yes, I do.
And when we say over, we're talking about what's an overreaction to a gun on campus? What's an underreaction to a gun on campus? True?
Right. When I spoke about it in an overreaction, underreaction to a crisis event. But yes, we could specifically talk about to a gun on campus.
Well, that's what we're talking about in this case, aren't we?
I just want to be clear that when I spoke about it, I speak about it in general.
So what is an overreaction to a gun on campus at an elementary school? What's an overreaction?
Well, I think that when you want an example of it, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you're saying you have to weigh the balancing test. What possibly could be an overreaction to a gun on campus?
So you want me to take it to the biggest overreaction I can think of?
Sure.
That would be when a student indicates that another child has something.
Yeah, but we're talking about overreaction, underreaction in terms of responses, correct?
Are you asking me when it is already proven that there is a weapon on campus, or when there is a suspicion of a gun or a weapon on campus?
Which one applies here?
Which one applies to your questioning?
Which one applies to this case, a suspicion or proven, in your view?
There was a suspicion that the student had a weapon of some sort.
Of a gun.
Students used the word gun, yes.
She used the word gun.
In her statement, yes.
So there's a suspicion of a gun. So let's use that circumstance.
Yes.
There's a suspicion of a gun on campus. The assistant principal recognizes there's a suspicion of a gun, and for 2 hours, the foreseeability that the gun remains on campus is not zero. It's something more than zero. That's what we've just gone through. True?
Yes.
What's an overreaction in that context?
In an elementary school where there is the suspicion that a six-year-old has something,
We're not talking about something. We're talking about a gun.
That a six-year-old has a weapon that students have categorized as a gun.
We're talking about a gun, man.
Do you want me?
What is an overreaction to a gun?
The an example of an overreaction is that when a student says, "Student X has a gun," that we call a lockdown, we have an active shooter response, we search the kid, we put him down, we put him in cuffs, we drag him off until we can figure out that he had a Nerf gun or a squirt gun or a firearm.
So you agree that Mrs. Werner wasn't expected to just drag the kid out of class, call a lockdown, and do all this stuff? That would be an overreaction.
An underreaction would be to leave him in the student, in the class.
Stay with my question. You agree with that statement that I made, correct?
No, I do not. An overreaction, it would be an overreaction to tackle the student, get the police, yes, all based on somebody said he has a weapon or what small children call a gun.
So let's talk about underreactions. Underreaction is an assistant principal not calling 911. True.
Well, can I finish answering your previous question?
You didn't answer my previous question. You went on to your own question.
Well, no, I was trying to answer the question of you asked me about an overreaction, and then you brought up Ms. Werner as an overreaction that she didn't drag him out.
Correct.
Did you? That's what I understood you to say.
And you agreed that you wouldn't expect her to do that.
But a student can be removed from a classroom without being dragged, kicking and screaming.
Right.
A student can be isolated. A book bag can be moved without it becoming an altercation or an aggressive or violent incident.
All things
that would be a more appropriate reaction. So I just wanted to clarify the overreaction that you asked about.
All things that Dr. Parker did not do. True.
All things that Ms. Werner did not do either, or Ms. Kovac didn't do either, or Mr. Rawls didn't do either, because in their judgment it was not an appropriate measure at that point.
Let's answer my question.
Okay.
All things that Dr. Parker did not do. True?
All things as in remove him from the room?
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. Now, when you've heard this statement, I presume, in life about sounding the alarm, you understand what that means?
Yes.
Okay. And so in this instance, there was a request, there was information that was conveyed all day that we talked about in terms of foreseeability to Dr. Parker. True?
There was limited information that was conveyed to Dr. Parker, but not all the information that was available. The materials suggest there was additional information she wasn't privy to.
Information was conveyed?
Some information, yes.
Sufficient for Dr. Parker to understand that there was a gun on campus. True?
That there was sufficient?
Sufficient for her to suspect there was a gun at Richneck Elementary School. We talked about suspicion.
Sufficient for her to understand that there was a concern about the potential of a gun on campus.
The information, start this way, some information was conveyed by Ms. Kovac to Dr. Parker, true?
Yes.
And again from Ms. Kovac to Dr. Parker, correct?
Yes.
And then from Mr. Sims, at least a question to Dr. Parker, correct?
Yes.
And then from Mr. Rawls to Dr. Parker, correct?
Correct.
So the individual who was in the position that was aggregating the information in this circumstance was Dr. Parker. You agree?
Aggregating as in receiving that information?
Yes.
Yes.
Think. Nothing, just looking at this now. That's all I have, Your Honor. Thank you.
All right. How much redirect do you have?
It can take a little bit of time. Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Then we will go ahead and take our lunch break now. And we are only going to take 45 minutes because it's been time-consuming this morning. And so we're going to take 45 minutes, which puts us at about, 2:10 at this point. All right, so let's take a 45-minute recess. All right, do not discuss your testimony with anyone, okay? All right, thank you. Oh, and wait, I'm sorry, I got to say one more thing. You can stay standing, ladies and gentlemen. Since we're taking our lunch break now, I want to remind you that the court has arranged lunch this week as it did last week for you, and I hope everything has been to your liking so far. All right, thank you very much. All right, we are going to take our lunch break now. Quarters in recess till 2:10. Thank you.
With opposing counsel, I have one witness on standby who's waiting. I want to see if I can release them if possible. My understanding is that
step down.
Thank you.
My understanding is that Corporal Blythe is outside the double doors. I understand that opposing counsel has no objection to the authenticity of the videos that are at issue, and they would need not have his testimony to establish the relevance of any of that video testimony either. And with that stipulation on the record, I would be prepared to release him so that he doesn't have to wait.
Any objection to releasing Corporal Roth?
We don't have an objection to releasing him. We don't agree with the relevance portion of it, but okay. We agree that it is what it is. We don't need him to say, that's my body camera, that's what I saw.
Right, so no foundational, so I think that meets what you're looking to do at this
time. Yes, Your Honor.
So it's the content, not the foundation.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Judge. Appreciate it.
Thank you very much. All right. We can recess till 2:10.
Please rise.
All right.
You may be seated.
Are we ready to proceed with your redirect examination?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right. Very well. Bring the jury back in. Actually, let's get her on the stand. We have the witness on the stand first. Come on back up and have a seat, just like when we left.
Jurors in the box.
Have you seated?
Her off. I'm going to show you Exhibit 108. Mr. Benyazin showed it to you in his cross-examination, the Richneck Elementary School Handbook. It's Exhibit 108 at page 2.
Okay.
I'll give you a minute to look at it.
Okay.
Take your time.
Is it possible to make it just a tiny bit bigger? Thank you. Can you scroll?
There you go. Thank you.
We'll start on the page 108-7.
Okay.
Your Honor, I think we can publish it to the jury since they've already seen it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, just making sure. Dr. Kleiner.
We don't have it up on our screens yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's on that screen.
Dr. Klinger, you see the paragraph beginning with discipline is the initial responsibility?
Yes.
And is that, I don't know that you would review this document before today. Reviewing it now, do you see that it says that discipline is the initial responsibility of the teacher?
Yes, I do.
And as a teacher, the first line responder, which you explained to the jury?
Correct.
Before? We'll go to the second page. I think Mr. Benyazin asked you some questions about level 3 behaviors. You recall those
yes.
questions?
Mm-hmm.
And on the left-hand side, there's a list of student behaviors, one of which is possession of a firearm. And
yes.
Based on your review of the material, just to be clear, did you see any evidence that there was a confirmed possession of a firearm before the event that happened in
objection,
the afternoon?
Your Honor.
What's the objection?
Your Honor, she's saying based on your review of the information, did you determine that there was a confirmed determination of a firearm? How is that helpful to the jury, the trier of fact? The question is whether or not Dr. Parker reached the standard of care. That's what she was proffered to do. Reaching a conclusion as to the state of mind of persons is irrelevant.
Do you have a response?
I'll try to rephrase it a little bit.
So sustained, allow you to rephrase.
Yeah, did you review any information in the records that you reviewed that there was a confirmed firearm or weapon before Ms. Zwirner was shot? It's okay. A simple question.
Objection, Your Honor. I think it's still impermissible as it relates to hearsay if she's saying, did you review something? Everything that she's reviewed is hearsay. The question is, did she reach her own conclusions?
I'm going to overrule that. I think you can answer that.
I didn't see anything in my review of the materials that indicated there was confirmation of a firearm.
Okay. And then the next steps that were discussed with you, it says secure students and ensure safety. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
And that's for the teacher to do, correct? Is that your understanding?
Objection leading.
Right. That's sustained. You rephrase.
In reviewing the next steps, do you see where it says secure students and ensure safety?
Objection leading.
Can you rephrase it in a non-leading manner, please?
In your review, you've reviewed the next steps, correct?
Yes, I have.
And based on your review of the material, did you see in the records where Ms. Zwirner secured the students that day?
No, there's no evidence of that in the materials that I reviewed.
Okay. Did Ms. Zwirner give notice to an administrator immediately, Dr. Parker?
Of this level of these levels of infraction, no.
And Dr. Klinger, we can take that down. Mr. Benyazin showed you a statement by Dr. Parker after the event, correct? Do you recall that?
Yes.
Do you, that is information that you had reviewed before? Had you reviewed the information before?
It was in the materials that I saw, yes.
And you reviewed it again today with Mr. Benyazin?
Yes.
Does any of that change the opinions that you've already told the jury? You're reviewing again today with Mr. Benyazin, Dr. Parker's statement?
No.
And Mr. Benyazin was able to draw some numbers and circle things with you and then go through information in the records that you've reviewed in the deposition testimony?
Yes.
Did any of the discussion about the numbers and what numbers you would circle change your opinions?
You mean in terms of doing that exercise
yes.
with him? No.
And Mr. Beniazin asked you about Mr. Rawls' discussion with Dr. Parker about searching, body searching the student.
Yes.
And you had reviewed Mr. Rawls' deposition?
Yes, I have.
And you had you also reviewed other statements by Mr. Rawls to the school board?
Yes.
Okay. And so going through that material today, did that change any of your opinions in the case?
No.
Dr. Klinger, on cross-examination, Mr. Beniazin asked you whether you recalled specific statements that Amy Kovac made to Dr. Parker before the shooting.
Yes, he did.
And do you recall when Mr. Beniazin asked you, did Ms. Kovac tell Dr. Parker explicitly about a gun and a specific student?
Did he ask me
do
that?
Do you recall when he asked
yes,
you
I
that?
Yes, I do. I'm sorry.
Sitting here, are you able to remember exactly word for word what Amy Kovac reported to Dr. Parker?
No, because it appeared to be, there was the general suggestion, the discussion of a weapon, but even within the materials, there is not clarity on that.
When you reviewed the records, did you review body-worn camera, a video depicting Ms. Kovac's interview with police after the shooting?
Yes, I did.
And would reviewing that video refresh your recollection of what Amy Kovac said to Dr. Parker regarding whether Ms. Kovac thought JT had a gun?
Yes.
Can we show?
We object to the line of questioning, Your Honor.
Yeah.
He opened the door, Your Honor. We can look at the body cam video outside the presence of the jury, but he opened the door.
How did he open the door?
He asked her. Yeah, and again, this is crossing over into an argument that Mr. Hogan's already made. I'm happy for him to interject because we're crossing over in two witnesses right now, or I can keep going, whatever the court prefers.
Yeah, I'm going to sustain the objection. She can't refresh a witness's testimony with another witness's testimony. So I'm going to sustain the objection.
Judge, if I could respond briefly to this point. And it may be appropriate to raise these arguments in a sidebar.
No, you can make it after she steps off the stand. I've ruled on that.
Just one moment, Your Honor.
No
further questions.
All right. Anything?
Two or three.
Limited to redirect.
Yes, Judge. If we can go to the IP vote, please. Shown this page, Dr. Klinger, correct?
Correct.
And opposing counsel had highlighted this first part. Discipline is the initial responsibility of the teacher, correct?
Correct.
But the sentence goes on to say, thus in expectations of tier one, correct?
Well, I can't see it, but yes, I believe that's what it says. In my version, it's zoomed out. Okay.
It goes
Thank
on.
You.
It specifies tier one, correct?
It's a tier one expectation, yes.
Okay. In level two, it talks about referral to administrator, correct?
Correct.
Those are all the questions I have.
All right, thank you. All right. Go ahead and step down and stay in the either in the hallway or the witness room that we had had you in for now, and then we'll give you further instructions. All right, thank you.
Your Honor, I understand the court's ruling. I will have an opportunity to place on the record the initial
objection. All right, so before you call your next witness, do we need to excuse the jury?
Probably so, Your Honor. I think that makes sense.
All right. All right, folks. We're going to have some legal arguments, which I will have to rule on, and then we will proceed with the case.
Thank you. You may be seated.
All right, Mr. Hogan, you want to put the rest of your objection to, I guess, argument as to my sustaining the plaintiff's objection to trying to bring in Ms. Kovacs' statement on the Axon video. Is that correct? That's what you want to address?
Yes, Judge, and I can clarify what we were doing in the nature of our argument for the record.
All right.
Judge, on cross-examination of Dr. Klinger, Mr. Vinyazin asked her, Ms. Kovacs, did Ms. Kovacs tell Dr. Parker explicitly about a gun in a specific student? True. They began discussing the specific statements that Ms. Kovac made to Dr. Parker before the shooting. This same topic was revisited multiple times. The transcript of 171-4, they indicate, question, okay, then we have a moment in time, as we talked about, where Kovac says, no gun in backpack, put something in pocket. Is that right? Is that true? And then there's acknowledgement that there was a discussion to that effect. That's the moment I'm talking about. These two areas of the transcript open the door to the line of inquiry about what specific statements Ms. Kovac made to Dr. Parker before the shooting. On to redirect, you were entitled to ask Dr. Klinger if in the course of reviewing this case, as well as the materials, including the body-worn camera materials, whether she knew specifically what statements Ms. Kovac made to Dr. Parker before the shooting. I understand that this was a subject of argument and litigation before this moment of time in this proceeding, Judge. But counsel opened the door to this line of inquiry by asking details about the specific questions that Ms. Kovac presented to Dr. Parker and the information that was relayed to her, her specific statements. What would happen is Dr. Klinger would take the stand. She was asked whether or not she reviewed the body-worn camera to recall to prepare for this case. She acknowledged that yes. She also acknowledged and confirmed that she did not recall specifically what statements Ms. Kovac stated. Then she said, yes, if I were presented with this body-worn camera, which I reviewed to form the basis of my opinion and testified here today in court, it would refresh my recollection. At that juncture, Judge, we were entitled to refresh Dr. Klinger's recollection to see if she could independently recall what it was that Ms. Kovac said to Dr. Parker before the shooting. As a matter of law, you can refresh a witness's recollection with anything, provided that opposing counsel can review it. We were not going to introduce that video through this witness. We were not refreshing her through another recollection through another witness's testimony. We were just asking her to review the materials she has reviewed the entire time and recall whether or not she remembered what Ms. Kovac said. I acknowledge this would not have been fair game but for Mr. Binnington's line of inquiry or cross-examination. To bar it now at this juncture would prejudice our case, Judge. I'd ask the court, with respect, to please revisit his ruling. I'd ask for an opportunity to recall Ms. Kovac and introduce this line of questioning.
All right, response.
Judge, what I hear is that we want to refresh a person's memory of a conversation they were never a part of.
And that's inadmissible.
Correct. And so, procedurally, you can't even refreshing of a memory implies that she had a memory of something from that period of time. This isn't a conversation that Dr. Klinger was involved in, nor is the material that they're wishing to proffer as the refreshing information of that time frame. I was very specific in the questioning of during that time, during the conversation, before the shooting. What they want to show is what Your Honor's already ruled is inadmissible for the reasons Your Honor's previously stated, which is something that happened at 2:20 in the afternoon. We're not talking about body camera footage that was capturing conversations with Ms. Kovac and Dr. Parker at noon or at 1 o'clock or at 1:30. This is after the fact and we're going to try and say to this witness, it's going to refresh your memory of something that you never even participated in.
Well, and that you can't testify to, which I've already ruled. So, yeah, I'm not going to allow you to do it that way. I also find that it's more prejudicial than probative at this time in the case. So I'm sustaining the objection.
Thank you, Judge.
All right. Do you have another witness to call?
No, Your Honor. We rest.
Defense is resting?
No, Your Honor. We would seek to introduce two videos. No witness is required to establish the foundation for this. I'd ask to hear argument on this.
Okay, well, I mean, we've seen the video. I mean, if you want to make a new argument that you can, all right, say once again, stipulation for purposes of this argument only that the proper foundation is laid, continuing objection for all the reasons already stated by plaintiff. What is your hope, intent, or argument that could be played with the proper foundation?
It's twofold, Judge. We are at
this trial now.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. If I make sure this is proposed to counsel, I prepared a bench brief on this topic. Deputy, please pass it to the judge. Thank you.
Okay, and Ken, while we're at it, can we let the witness go based on my ruling?
Yes.
All right, you can release the doctor.
Judge, I'll give you an opportunity to review that.
All right.
Please let me know when you'd like me to proceed.
So your objection wasn't to relevance, because they're clearly relevant. I mean, I don't see any argument as to that. But the issue then becomes, is it hearsay or not? Did you want to respond to that?
The question of whether or not the statement...
Well, I mean, I guess I'll hear you if you don't think they're relevant. But, I mean, I think they've laid a groundwork for that at this point. So then, to me, their other objection, unless I'm reading this wrong, is that it's not hearsay.
The point that I would make on relevance, Judge, is that they're arguing that the state of mind of one person is relevant to determine the state of mind of another person to then determine a fact at issue. That is, Ms. Kovacs' state of mind is relevant to then determine what Dr. Parker's state of mind was, to then determine whether or not the threat was credible. And I think that is a stretch of the relevance argument. And if anything, it is a 403 issue just based on that. We're not talking about hearsay. Then we get into the world of hearsay, and it's there. asserting that they're not offering for the truth of the matter asserted, at least within the written brief. But then the question is, what is it then being proffered to provide? If you're not offering it for the truth of the matter that Ms. Kovac didn't think it was a real gun, which is what they're offering it for, you can't, then why then is it relevant to her state of mind? You can't have it both ways. The only way that it becomes relevant, arguably, is that if it's offered for the truth of the matter asserted. And if it's offered for the truth of the matter asserted, it is then impermissible hearsay that doesn't fall under any of the exceptions within the rule, specifically 8033, which is what we talked about before, because she is talking about not a then-existing state of mind, not an existing state of mind at the time. She's talking about we thought. And so again, if this was a recording at 12:30, 1 o'clock, we'd be talking about different things. This is a recording after the fact, after the shooting. And effectively, at this point in time, it's intended to impeach the testimony of a witness that's already testified. And they can say they don't want, that's not what the purpose is, all they want. But when we're offering something that is that was not confronted to with the witness, and now trying to say, well, we're offering it now to show what she really thought, different than what she said on the witness stand, it is implicitly, if not explicitly, being offered to impeach the credibility of the witness. And there, right. And in the relevance analysis is grounded upon this idea that when she says we thought, first, who's we? Okay, that's a determination to make in terms of relevance. Second, we thought when? We thought at 12, we thought at 12:30, we thought at 1:30. These are all the reasons why hearsay statements are generally excluded, because you don't have the opportunity to question the witness or cross-examine the witness on what they truly meant in the circumstance. And so here, what we have is, whether or not it's an authentic video doesn't change that it's hearsay.
I agree with that. Yeah. I agree with you on that.
Hearsay statement, and it is inadmissible unless they can offer another reason. They're now foregoing the truth of the matter asserted and saying it's offered to prove not for the truth of the matter asserted. It's offered to prove her state of mind. And then the question becomes, why is Ms. Kovac's state of mind at 2:18 p.m. on January 6th have any pertinent issue in this case?
But isn't it now relevant based on the doctor's testimony today, based on everything that she has now reviewed, observed, and your cross-examination of her?
Your Honor, how so? I don't see that, because the analysis, as we walked through with Dr. Klinger, was what was the foreseeability of this throughout the day up until the time of the shooting. And she wants to talk, she didn't even get into this question of foreseeability of it now, right? You allowed her to say it's unprecedented, which we objected to. And so for her now to say, for her to take a statement from 2:18 p.m. and proffer, witness is gone now, so we can't say that it's pertinent to her opinions because no one's asked her about it. Witness is gone. To say, well, this changes the expert's analysis? How? How does that change the expert's analysis when we weren't, the goal of the expert analysis was supposed to be what was going on during the time in which it happened? You couldn't hear. The only way in which, if they want to get this testimony in, which is, did you think it was a toy gun? Did you, Ms. Kovac, think it was a toy gun? So you call Ms. Kovac. And then if you say, did you think it was a toy gun? And if they said, who else thought it was a toy gun with you? I think if we objected, Your Honor would sustain it, because that would be asking for speculative testimony. Who else thought it, including you? If the statement is, did you tell Dr. Parker it was a toy gun? That could be relevant, but that's not in the recordings either. The question in the recording isn't, what did you tell her? The question, the colloquy in the recording is, we thought. And so if they wanted to call Ms. Kovac, which is how I implied your rulings from last week, which is, I'm not saying you can't do it at all, but you got to put on the right information to lay the foundation. They called Ms. Kovac and say, did you tell her it was a toy gun? Fair game. Have Ms. Kovacs say, did you tell her or not it was a toy gun? But that's not what they're offering it for. I mean, that's not how they're offering to do it.
Today.
They're trying to say, this statement about we thought, you can imply, we've had this argument, right? We had this argument last week. We can imply that the we is her and somebody else, and we can imply from that that there is a statement that was made, again, hearsay statement, that was made to Dr. Parker earlier in time, none of which has foundation in the actual recording.
All right, anything else you want to argue other than what's in this bench brief?
Yes, Judge, I need to address some points raised by counsel that are worth mentioning. First and foremost, we're not offering this for impeachment. We're offering this as substantive evidence. There's no impeachment issue here. How are we offering this as substantive evidence? We're offering this because these recordings, they're separate. They have similar statements, but they're separate and discrete. The first one, Exhibit 57A8, states, Kovac is speaking to a law enforcement officer. He represents. He had something in his pocket. I said, keep him in your eye, you know. And I went and I told my AP that, you know, this and this, and we were just watching him. And if anything, we thought it was just a toy. This is relevant because it shows Kovac's state of mind at the time, both at the time that she makes the statement, as well as at the time the jury can infer at the time these incidents were occurring. Where do I get that? Counsel's flagged the timing issue. He says, what does it matter? Number one, why does Kovac's state of mind matter at all, period? Number two, okay, assuming that it does have some relevance, why does her state of mind matter after the shooting versus during the events preceding it? The response is, number one, Ms. Kovac's testimony regarding her, or evidence establishing her state of mind, is relevant, given, as the court has said, Dr. Klinger has testified that the jury, when they're assessing whether or not it was an objectively reasonable administrator, would have responded whether, when, and how to respond to the information she received. One of the salient factors is the subjective assessments of the reporting parties, the subjective assessments of the first-line responders. That includes teachers, staff, guidance counselors, etc. What is in their head and their individual assessment, exercising their independent judgment and discretion as to whether or not this reported threat is indeed a credible threat, is indeed an actual weapon, matters. She's explained that. The jury has heard that evidence. It's unchallenged. It's in evidence now. That's relevant. In addition, the timing issue. Why would her state of mind at the time of talking to the law enforcement officer matter? Well, that matters because under Canopy, Judge, which is cited in the brief, it's well established that someone's state of mind or statements reflecting their state of mind at the time of the utterance of the statement is probative of their state of mind at the time of the incident or the events leading up to it. They use this all the time where people, statements that people make after the fact of a crime, for example, or any other incident, can be probative of their mental state at the time of the incident. Circumstantial evidence is used all the time to infer somebody's intent and knowledge and state of mind. And the other thing worth highlighting here, Judge, is I'm not doing the then-existing mental state. Then-existing mental state is a discrete exception to the hearsay requirement. That's 803.3, I believe, if I'm not mistaken. I'm saying this is a straight-up non-hearsay purpose that is established in the treatise that I cite. If you're offering a statement just to show that for the sole purpose of establishing the state of mind of the declarant, that's not hearsay. That is well settled in the case law. It is discrete from the then-existing mental state. So I think this is probative not just of her mental state at the time that she's talking to law enforcement. The jury can look at that and rely on it, assess her credibility and demeanor when they watch the video, and say, look, I think that as substantive evidence, this lady actually thought that this was a toy gun. And in fact, she thought it not just then, but also at the time she was conducting this investigation.
Yeah, but then doesn't it become hearsay and you're contradicting your own argument, right? Because if you want to argue it substantively and we don't give the limiting instruction, then you are saying it's for the truth of the matter.
But no, it's establishing that this is her mental state. This is what she believed at the time that she's making the statement. The jury can draw their own inferences. If you're worried that they will establish that, okay, in fact, this is truly, this was believed that this was a truly an actual weapon, we can give them a limiting instruction. These things can be cured. The remedy is not straight up exclusion. I'd also note, Judge, that although we've addressed this kind of together, there are separate arguments that apply to the other video. The other video I'm offering to establish a notice, and I can address that separately or now if you would prefer.
You can put it on the record.
What I put on the record with respect to that clip, Judge, is you can see that in that one, there's Ms. Kovac states that she told Dr. Parker that she believed that this was a, if anything, this was a toy gun. She also Excuse me, for video exhibit 57A10, let me clarify. She is speaking to the law enforcement officer. She says that they checked his bag like we thought, and she didn't say anything back to me like he moved something back from his pocket like, I don't know. And then she emphasizes that, again, it's a six-year-old. That is different. That is clear evidence of her state of mind at the time of making the statement. That is something that is consistent with the other evidence in this case, that no one here could have fathomed that a six-year-old child would have committed this, perpetrated this offense. That's something that a jury should hear. That is something that, given an appropriate cautionary instruction, they can say, yes, I'm just considering this for the purposes of establishing her mental state at the time of making the statement. All the other statements leading up to it, although they could be offered, they could run afoul of the hearsay rule, Judge, I'll be candid. The case law also establishes that statements that otherwise would constitute inadmissible hearsay can be considered solely for context. If we're just looking at that statement, again, it's a six-year-old. If you watch the video, Judge, Amy Comeck is saying this after Dr. Parker. This whole time, up to this point, she's been talking to Corporal Blythe individually, recounting the incident. This is the time where Dr. Parker comes out of the office. What do you see on the camera? Amy Comeck peers around the corner, sees Dr. Parker, and her demeanor palpably changes. You can see it. She becomes withdrawn, and then she starts emphasizing and mitigating and trying to distance herself from wrongdoing. And that can be inferred fairly from the evidence by the jury. And how do we know that? Because she says, well, we searched the bag like we thought, you know, and then she looks to Dr. Parker, she looks to Laura Harris, who is present there, and looks to them for assent, and they nod assent. And then she says, and she didn't say anything back to me, like he moved something back from his pocket, like, I don't know. That is all legitimate evidence for the jury to consider. It is her demeanor, it is the way that she's responding to law enforcement, all of that combined with their final statement, again, it's a six-year-old. That is something that a jury should hear. It does not run afoul of the hearsay prohibition. It has to be introduced.
I'm going to sustain the objections for the reasons previously stated. It is more prejudicial than probative at this time.
Thank you.
All right. Are you any other witnesses?
We rest, Your Honor. We have some exhibits that we need to make sure that we have the correct ones. If we can do that after, I just want to make sure that's okay with the court.
Defense rests. All right. Is there going to be any rebuttal evidence?
No,
no rebuttal evidence. All right, so you're asking for a few minutes to organize the exhibits?
Yes, Your Honor.
All right, and then when you are ready, let my deputy know, and then I need a conference on another matter in my chambers. All right, thank you very much. We'll be in a brief recess. Let Hop know when you're ready.
Conference
we'll
with us in your chambers, correct?
What's that?
Conference with us.
Yeah, with both sides in my chambers after they're ready with their exhibits.
Yes, sir.
Okay, thank you very much.
And Your Honor, I might be able to get that in motion and then come sooner.
Okay.
Okay.
Stands in recess.
All right, are we ready to bring the jury in?
And Your Honor, I have corrected the court exhibit D.
Okay,
hand that up. Let me bring in the jury.
More continuing coverage of the Abby Zwirner civil trial is coming up. Press subscribe now so you don't miss a moment. From the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do. Heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
At Ability Chiropractic, they do things differently. They believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Their doctors take time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, they help you restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, they help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Their doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true healing starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Looking for more than just pain relief? At Ability Chiropractic, we help your body do what it was designed to do, heal naturally. Our doctors focus on spinal and nervous system alignment to restore balance, energy, and overall wellness. From infants to grandparents, families across Columbus are discovering that true health starts from within, not from a prescription bottle. Experience what natural healing can do for you. Book your appointment today at abilitychiro.com. That's abilitychiro.com.
Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
At Ability Chiropractic, we do things differently. We believe lasting health starts with understanding how your body truly works, not masking pain with quick fixes. Our doctors take the time to educate and empower you to take control of your wellness journey. Through gentle, customized adjustments, we help restore proper function and unlock your body's natural healing power. That's why Columbus families have trusted Ability Chiropractic since 2012. See the difference for yourself. Book an appointment today at abilitychiro.com.
At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.